This is Fresh Air. Many of us learned in school that Columbus discovered America. Nowadays, many educators would rather teach that Columbus explored a land that already had an indigenous culture. In recent years, many educators have been changing the way history is taught, so it isn't just the world is seen from a white Eurocentric perspective. All across the country, educators are debating the issue of multiculturalism, how history curricula can be more sensitive to the increasing ethnic diversity within the classroom and the country. Recently, a 26-member advisory committee in New York State submitted its report to the state's Board of Regents. The report is called One Nation, Many People, a Declaration of Cultural Interdependence, and it recommends that the social studies curricula reflect multiple perspectives. My guest John Paul Bianchi was a member of the committee. He also has to implement curricula as the social studies supervisor for Community School District 8 in the Bronx. Bianchi says he thinks a review of the curriculum was necessary at this point because social studies is dynamic. It's always changing.
The mores of the society, the ethics of the society, the values people have constantly are in change. And the things that have happened in our country over the last just decade in terms of changes in different immigrant groups and things like this demand that the curriculum that we teach our children be up to date and viable for them. You know, I sat there the day Germany was unified and realized that every map I have and everything I own in social studies is wrong.
Right, you know? Right.
So what's going to happen in 2 weeks in Yugoslavia, you know? Who knows?
One of the things that the curriculum committee recommended was more language sensitivity. So instead of saying slave, it would be enslaved person. The committee recommends dropping the word minority, since someone who's in a minority in this country isn't a minority in a lot of parts of the world. They're the majority. What do those changes mean to you?
Personally, you see, you've got to understand the makeup of the committee. It's a fascinating situation to have seen in September a group of people who were very Afrocentric, a group of people that were Hispanic-centric, a wonderful, brilliant Native American doctor who had his point of view, and us guys.
Us guys being what, the white guys?
Yeah. The practitioners that were there that were not the experts in that, but we knew how to put this into effect. There was Dr. Glazier and Dr. Schlesinger and Dr. Jackson and so forth. And I said to myself, oh, this is going to be interesting. We're all going to sit in corners and shoot at each other. You know, and I have to tell you very honestly, that never happened. What happened is we all expressed our views. We all expressed our frustrations. We sat and talked to each other from all different perspectives. There was no time that anyone threatened to walk out because we knew there was something great happening there.
There are dissenting opinions, yes, that are included at the back of the report.
That's correct.
One of them is written by the historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr.
That's correct, right.
And he says that that this report reverses the historic theory of America, which has been not the preservation and sanctification of old cultures and identities, but the creation of a new national identity and a new national culture. He says we should be alert to the danger of society in which each has been taught to cherish his apartness from the rest. So anyways, he's saying that this is more about the fragmentation of cultures than it is about the unity of American culture. Mm-hmm. What's your response to that?
My response is his first paragraph. I agree with many of the practical recommendations in this report. It is unquestionably necessary to diversify the syllabus in order to meet the needs of more diversified society. It is unquestionably necessary to provide for global education in an increasingly interdependent world. Our students should by all means be better acquainted with women's history, with the history of ethnic and racial minorities, with Latin America, Asia, and African history. Debate alternative interpretations. Multiple perspectives are all essential to the educational enterprise. I welcome changes that would adapt the curriculum to these purposes. If that is what the report means by multicultural education, I am for it, all for it. I think the statement that you read is a concern of his that I think we dealt with, that we were very sensitive to that. We don't want the breakdown of American society. In this Anglo-centric curriculum, we're not going to we're not there to make these guys bad guys. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to make everybody good guys. Yeah, every one of us, every group in the world has done horrendous things to its people. But that doesn't mean that that's what we harp on. No. I think we look at the greatness of all the cultures. We look at the beauty of all the cultures and how each culture, not necessarily every time in every part of the curriculum, but how each culture has, in fact, given to this society and become part of our great society that we have built.
John Paul Bianchi is my guest. He's social studies supervisor for Community School District 8 in the Bronx, and he's a member of the committee that just reviewed the New York social studies curriculum to make it better reflect the multicultural makeup of the schools and of American life in general. We'll take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. John Paul Bianchi is my guest, and he was a member of the committee that just reviewed the New York social studies curriculum. Okay, you're a social studies supervisor.
Yes.
Let's talk about the district that you oversee. What's the ethnic makeup of that community?
The makeup of the district is simple. We go across the Bronx. We start with a majority Italian, I'd say white neighborhood in Throgs Neck. We move over to a mixed middle class Hispanic and African American neighborhood in the middle of the district, and we go all the way and we touch the beginnings of the South Bronx in the Morrisania section.
Okay, so you've mentioned at least three different ethnic groups.
57 languages.
In your school?
In the district.
Wow. Is social studies taught differently in different neighborhoods within that district? If the neighborhood is largely Hispanic, will the curriculum have a different emphasis than in a neighborhood that's predominantly Italian? And will that emphasis be different from a neighborhood that's predominantly African American?
I do allow certain flexibility within the curriculum. I do feel that it is important for the Italian-American children in the northern end of the district to understand what it meant to be an African-American. And I do want the people at the southern end of the district, the African-Americans, to understand what the struggle is of the European immigrants in this country. I give a variety of materials to the teachers, and I say, look, here are various options you have. Pick and choose what is best for your class. They're based on their ability level, based on their reading level. Their variety of factors go into it, and the teachers can pick and choose what they want, because some things are they're more comfortable teaching one way than they are teaching. Some teachers want more structure, some teachers want less structure. I have to provide a variety of materials to do that, and I try to give the school and the district and the teachers flexibility, but there are certain understandings that the children must achieve. And they must be dealt with regardless of which way you choose to teach it.
Do you think that students in schools that are predominantly African American should be learning more about the contributions of African Americans and should be learning more about African history than, say, their counterparts in a school that's predominantly Hispanic?
No. No, because I think, in my opinion, and it's just, again, this has nothing to do with the committee, this is my opinion, if you give a young African-American male an Afrocentric curriculum, you're doing him far more harm than good, because the reality, he has to go out and get a job in this society, and he's got to know how to deal with this society. I had a meeting at IBM a couple of weeks ago. Whether they were African-American, Hispanic, or white, every one of them had a gray or blue suit on and a white shirt, and they've got to learn how to deal with that. What they should be learning is to be very proud of their culture. And they should be learning what contributions their culture, people of their culture, have made to this country, as should the Hispanics, as should the Anglos, as should other parts of Europe, without implying in any way or putting down any other culture. And this goes even for civil rights activities here in this country. I mean, the gay and lesbian community, we have gay students in schools. I don't know if the child was gay, but at the last state test, I was reviewing essays. That child wrote about gays and lesbians, a 14-year-old girl, because I happened to be going around the room. And that's discrimination, whatever happens to those people. I'm not judging their morality. I'm just saying, what do we treat them like? And we have to get more of the attitude of everyone is valuable, and that's what I'm concerned with.
So the report does not recommend having a different emphasis according to the ethnic makeup of the school?
Absolutely not. In fact, in schools where there are predominant monocultural students, I think the emphasis should be on the role of many cultures so that they understand that even though they don't live in a society where there are many cultures or in a town or in a village or in a part of the city where there are many cultures, that these other cultures exist, they have value, and they have contributed, so they all have understandings. A little town upstate that has only white people in it cannot really understand what racism is because they don't have anyone there, but they should understand it, and they should have activities to understand it so that when they do face situations where those instincts might come out, those negative instincts, they are aware that that's wrong.
Now, looking at it practically, what do you need to make a new curriculum work?
I need a couple of things. First of all, I need a lot of help with staff training. I want the state and the city to come down and help me train our staff because I can't do it alone. I am all of social studies in my district, and I am the exception. In New York City, many districts do not have social studies coordinators at all. The coordinator is in charge of reading, math, science, and social studies, or something like that. And what is what do they stress? They stress reading and math because those are printed in the New York Times. But so there should be, first of all, coordinators in every district. Secondly, those coordinators need help in getting the teacher training done to restructure the thinking of the teacher. And thirdly, we need curriculum material, solid meat and potatoes, as I call them, stuff that the teacher can look at and say, yeah, I'm going to duplicate that worksheet. That looks like a good lesson. I'm going to do that. Or I'm going to do that cooperative learning activity. I like that. Because with the stress upon teachers, and it's the most frustrating and the most wonderful profession in the world, it really is, with the stress that they have and the amount of work they have to do, they cannot be going to the library all day Saturday to research some aspect of some multicultural aspect of an event in American history. I think what they should be doing is be given the materials and the training to do the teaching.
One of the suggestions in the curriculum report is that the word slave not be used anymore because it reduces a person's identity to the noun slave. Rather, the substitution of enslaved person should be used because that's what has been forced on the person. It's not who they are. It's the status they've been forced into.
That's correct.
Okay, so what does that mean practically? I mean, if you were only to use materials that had enslaved person instead of slave, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything that you could use.
Yeah, but you can use it in the classroom. That's how you start out.
For example, in other words, the teacher starts using that language no matter what the books and
no
matter what the other print materials say.
I'll give you a perfect example of that. I was in an eighth grade class about 2 weeks ago, and the teacher had written something on the board for the children to copy, and the Indians this and the Indians that. And I looked at the kids and I said, boys and girls, what Indians are we talking about? Where are these Indians? And they said, here. Well, are they Indians here? What do we really call them now? And I simply got the kids to, because they knew the word for some reason. Some of the kids knew the word. We cross out every word Indians and we put Native Americans, Native Americans, Native Americans. It starts there. No, we can't change the books overnight. But it starts with indoctrinating, if you will, teaching the teachers, give them a new attitude, the principals, the assistant principal, all those people, and let them start using these words that we're looking at. They're not Orientals, they're Asian Americans. They're Asians, or they're from the Far East, or whatever term they want to use, preferably Japanese or Korean. Let's use those terms. And everybody has got a right to use the terms that they want for their own people. Why should Indians be called Indians? Columbus thought he was in India. They didn't teach map skills then either, apparently. And you know, he named them Indians. All of a sudden, they're Indians. Why should we call them Indians? Because Columbus said they should be Indians? Oh, let's call them what they want. They want Native Americans. That's okay with me.
In the light of budget cutbacks in the state and in the city, where does the new curriculum fit in?
I'm going to give you a very real answer.
Yeah.
The real answer is, folks, if they want to do it, they'll find the money. And that's true of every, you look at the chancellor's programs in schools. There is money in New York City for multicultural education. If you really want to do something, you'll find the money.
John Paul Bianchi was a member of the committee that just reviewed the New York State Social Studies curriculum. This is Fresh Air.